There's not a lot of them. You're welcome first. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along, I ask my brethren, look around in case someone did not receive a bulletin when they came in. There's still several, I hope, on the table in the foyer. You're welcome to get one. The title of it is While They Slept. Well, I found six illustrations, probably more, but six illustrations of people who slept, and the outcome wasn't always the best. So you can see by number one that was in our scripture text, the sleep of the lazy person. And number two, it's the sleep of hiding from God and God's command. Sleep of being presumptuous. Sleep of being weary. Then the sleep that lets the enemy in. And number six, the sleep that overcomes us. And that's appropriate for our assembly. These are all familiar, I think, Bible stories. I'm reminded of a song leader. Might even been Dennis here. But he'd always have the congregation stand to sing the song before the sermon. One time I asked him, why'd you do that? And he said, well, it wakes them up before you preach. So that way, if they're sleeping when you finish, the psalm leader can say, it's not my fault. They were awake when you started. So we'll look at the subject of some Bible sleepers in our lesson this morning. We have warnings in life, such as, don't fall asleep at the wheel. Oh, some danger. Or don't sleep on the job. Or don't fall asleep before the movie ends. People do that.
Good luck with that.
But when we sleep, I put several descriptive characteristics are attached to it. First of all, when you're sleeping, it's a time of insensibility. Because you're not aware of what's going on in your house or in the neighborhood. There have been times when there were sirens that maybe went by close to the house, and I've been sleeping, and Christine would say in the morning, "Did you hear those sirens?" Didn't hear anything. I was insensible to what was going on in the neighborhood. Sleep is also a time of insecurity. We lock the doors, we set the alarm for our protection. Insecure. Time of inactivity. Any task that's left undone is still undone when we wake up. A time of illusion. The sleeper, the dreamer may fancy that all is well. And you can put one or more of these descriptive characteristics in the Bible illustrations in our lesson this morning. Number one was in the text that was read to us. Listen again. I went by the field of the lazy man, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. There it was, all overgrown with thorns. The surface was covered with nettles. The stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. There's the lesson. I considered it. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So by lesson, I would look at this and I think, well, on the spiritual side, this is the one, the lazy person, the one void of understanding, might be the one who says, I'm going to become a Christian someday. Sleep at the wheel? Yeah. Sleep on the job? Yeah. I'll stir myself up when I have a convenient season. Not now. Might say, my honest intention is to become a Christian someday. But I'm not going to do it now. Void of understanding? Consider it. Receive instruction. James says in James chapter 4, verse 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, all the lazy men, someday, convenient season. Come now, you that say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, trade and get gain, whereas you don't know what will happen on tomorrow. You don't know. For what's your life? Oh, it's a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll go into such and such a city and trade and get gain. But now you boast in your ignorance. Oh, now there's a phrase. Oh, there'll always be time. Someday. But you boast in your ignorance. Almost wanted to say stupid. All such boasting is evil, James says. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Oh, the lazy man. The man, they go, one of these days, void of understanding. I get that. Number two, it's a sleep of hiding from God and God's command. Very familiar story of Jonah. I'll read the text. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. All right. The word of the Lord came to him. He knows what the mission is. God, I know what you want me to do. Problem is not knowledge. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Say, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can you do that? The scripture continues. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. He went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 5, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. Ever notice, sometimes I key on some words. He went down to Joppa, down into the ship, down into the lowest parts of the ship, laid down. Everything Jonah did was going down because he heard the word of the Lord and didn't want to do it. Went to sleep. So first of all, I think Jonah thought by moving from one city to another, he could escape. When I read your command and what you want me to do, I was down here at Imperial Beach. I freeway, I don't have to do what you have to say. I think I can flee from your presence. I think I can get out of here. David said in Psalm 139, beginning of verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? He continues with, if I go to the depths, you're there. If I take my wings in the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the sea, behold, you're there. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the darkness shall be light unto me. Where can I go from your presence? We can't. That's what Jonah thought. He said, no, I'm just flee the presence of the Lord and go to sleep. Thinking God can't find me. Second idea, he thought he could avoid God's command. Flee from God, flee from the command. In verse 6, after he goes down to the lowest parts of the ship, then there's that storm-tossed sea. And then the captain came to him in Jonah chapter 1, verse 6. The captain came to him, said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? you sleeper. Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Oh, there's a lesson, huh? We, like Jonah, need to wake up, get up, call on our God, deliver a soul-saving message to a world of people that can't save themselves. That's one message from Jonah. Jonah, you thought you could run from God and avoid God's command. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome." I'm ready to preach. Jonah, preach to Nineveh. I don't think so. Nope. I think I'm going to go to sleep. Run and hide. I'm going to avoid God and avoid his command. Oh. Paul continued in Romans 1, verse 16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the power of God and his salvation. Everyone who believes." Oh, I'm not going to avoid the command to preach. I'm going to be a pull a Jonah on God and go hide and not speak. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The obligation that we have to preach to a people that are wicked. Jonah says, "I'm not doing that. I'll go to sleep instead." Number three is the sleep of presumptuousness. Now, you're familiar with the story of Samson and Delilah. We've told that story before. But you've probably read about it yourselves. You've heard it from your youth if you've been around for any length of time. It's in Judges chapter 16, and I'm going to start with verse 15. I can tell the story, but I'd like to read it. "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me three times, and you've not told me where your great strength lies.' Well, it came to pass, she pestered him daily with her words, pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Then he told her all of his heart. He said, 'If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me.'" Oh, Jonah. I mean, Samson. Samson. Verse 19. "Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees." We were there, we'd probably say, "Samson, don't do it. Don't go there." We would certainly be awake to shout the warning. "But she lulled him to sleep on her knees, called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. She tormented him, and his strength left him." Verse 20, like the other times, she said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." So he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I'll go out as before, at other times, and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Ooh, Samson, sleeping on Delilah's knees. You've escaped the Philistines three times already. You'd think he would have learned. She didn't have his best interest in mind. So he thought that he would always be able to escape the danger. He was presumptuous. We don't use that word very often. But he went to sleep. And he was captured by the enemy. So we may think the same. We'll go to sleep behind the wheel, so to speak. We'll sleep on the job. Oh, we fall asleep. We got away with sin before. So we think, "Well, I can do it again." And then we can't. Uh-oh. We went to sleep, didn't we? Behold, I thought. Number four is the sleep of the weary. Mark chapter 14, verse 34, you're familiar with the story, Jesus in Gethsemane. Jesus said to the disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." All right, there's my assignment. Stay here and watch. Well, he, meaning Jesus, went a little farther. He fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father," or "Father, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." Then he, meaning Jesus, came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? And then he gave the lesson, watch and pray. Perhaps, maybe, I don't know. The story doesn't tell us why the disciples went to sleep. So I say perhaps, maybe, could be. Maybe they were tired from all the events leading up to this moment. Just maybe. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, weary in well-doing, or while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Stay awake for the end of the movie. Don't get tired of Bible class, worship assembly, prayer, doing good, service, ministry, benevolence. Oh, same thing all the time, over and over again. I'm tempted, and we fall asleep. I don't want to do it anymore. Give me a break. Jesus said the assignment, stay here and watch. 1 hour. 1 hour. And then he gave the lesson. When he found them sleeping, woke them up. Watch and pray. Have an obligation. Don't fall asleep while you're on watch. That's our next story. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Number 5 is the sleep that lets the enemy in. Told in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. That's where it begins. It says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven," all the congregation, the church, the kingdom. "Kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." God, he sowed good seed. "But while men slept," "while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and then went away." We strive to sow good seed in our life. You know, as parents to children, or grandparents to grandchildren, in one illustration. I want to see that, in our situation now, that our grandchildren are established in that which is right. I want to watch out that they don't involve themselves in the vices of the world. I want to sow, and Christine does too, good seed in our grandchildren. I want to see that the vices of the world don't creep in. I want to stay awake in the task. But if I fall asleep, the enemy will come and sow tares among the wheat. Another illustration would be the preaching when we assemble for worship, or the teaching in our Bible class. We need to heed the warning that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Why? Why do I want to stay awake and sow good seed in the preaching? because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap for themselves teachers. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Oh, man, no doubt. God, what do you want me to do? As a parent, the vices of the world don't creep in on your children, grandchildren. As a preacher, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to stay awake and preach the word, because false doctrine, false teaching, and self-righteousness will creep in, and other things. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I need to be sure that I'm awake in the pulpit. Awake as a grandfather. Stay awake so that the tares will not be sown. The last one, number six, the man named Eutychus, overcome by sleep. In Acts 20, beginning of verse 7, I really don't have a lesson for this one, but it was a sleeper. So I wrestled with it. What good, valuable lesson can I say about this sleeper? So it says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, so it's an assembly, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them. And he continued his message till midnight. No, I'm not going to do that. Thank you. Yeah. But Paul preached till midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus. He was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued, Paul was, keep preaching, and you've got a sleeper in the pew or in the window. Keep preaching. He, not Paul, the man in the window, fell down from the third story, was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, don't trouble yourselves, his life is still in him. But Paul revived him. I put in your notes, maybe that's the lesson. I've heard of people talking in their sleep. One definition of a preacher is someone who talks in somebody else's sleep. I talk in your sleep. I heard of a man that always went to sleep during the sermon. So after the assembly, he was walking out the door, and he asked the preacher, do you fall asleep when you're right? You know, my sermons put me to sleep. They put you to sleep. No. I'm not sure what the lesson is from Eutychus. I guess don't sit in a third-story window while a preacher's preaching till midnight. In your closing of your outline, to bring it home, we see all these lessons that I just gave you. You can sleep because you're lazy. That's not a good thing. Trying to hide from God and God's command? No. Presumptuous, thinking you can always get away with it? No, don't do that. Don't go to sleep on that. Sleep of the weary? Jesus said, can't you watch just 1 hour? Sleep that lets the enemy in. Oh, they sowed tares among the good seed. Just a sleep that overcomes us. So in Romans 13, verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, and I like the next phrase, it's high time to awake out of sleep. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. I heard somebody say it's later now than it ever has been. That's right. Ephesians 5, verse 14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, spiritually dead, and Christ will give you life. It's just time to wake up, brethren. That's the lesson. In all of these areas, in the Bible, that give us the lesson. We need to wait and give ourselves in service and worship. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, and I remember the New Testament church, wake up. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, wake up. You know, like in our text that was read to us, the proverb says, you know, I saw that the vacant fields, I saw the walls torn down, and I received instruction. Oh, I learned from that. I want you to learn from all the sleepers to wake up and obey the gospel. Jesus and his disciples in the Great Commission to all the world. Mark chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the invitation we give. You've heard the message. You've heard about the amazing grace and the great love of God. Now believe it and commit yourself to it. Don't be like a Jonah. God, I know what you want me to do. I'm going to run and hide and sleep. Oh, no, 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 no. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the invitation. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply while we're singing this, I call it invitation song, a song of exhortation, a song, you know, of admonishment. Why not now? Let's stand together and dance. If that's your desire to become a Christian, to be baptized, just singing this song and let your request be known.